A sermon by Reverend Richard A. Rem, preached at Christ Community Church in Spring Lake, Michigan, on September 3, 1989, in the series Human Transformation, the Gospel and AA, entitled Agents of Grace, Unconditional Love in Action. The scripture reading is Galatians 6, verses 1 through 10. The text for the sermon is Galatians 6, verses 1 and 2. Copyright, Grand Valley State University.
We come today to the 12th step and the final message in this series, Human Transformation, the Gospel and AA. And we look today at how the person who has experienced a spiritual awakening through the steps of this program now carries that message to all who are in need and practices those principles in the totality of his or her life. The 12th step is that step whereby the recovering person makes himself available to all in need to go anywhere, anytime, and to do anything, anything that is needful. It is the outreach, if you will. The step is phrased, carry the message, but that must not be interpreted as though the recovering person now goes to another in need and tells him or her what to do. Carry the message must be understood as incarnating the message, which involves, of course, words but deeds. It is unconditional love in action. For the recovering person in the AA program becomes an agent of grace. And love becomes tangible and concrete in that person as he reaches out to one in need. The 12th step of the AA program is the outward manifestation of the inward spiritual awakening. Human transformation, that's what this series has been all about. On this last message, I will say, as I have said throughout and from the beginning, that the series has not been for alcoholics, potential or present or recovering. But I treat it once again after 7 years because AA, as an institution, has simply taken the truths of the gospel and has translated them into a practical program that is more successful in affecting human transformation than any other organization I know. An organization 54 years old, numbering in the millions, without any institutional form, simply a fellowship of people who have had an experience and who are ready to go anywhere, anytime, and do anything in order to share the experience. It is amazing. It's a modern miracle. And this organization that has borrowed a page from the gospel and has been so effective has got so much to teach us in the Christian church. Somehow or other, AA is able to put into practice and affect transformation to a degree that we simply have not been able to do. Part of it, perhaps, is that, as one author has said, in AA, I learned that I could act my way into a new way of thinking, whereas I had never been able to think my way into a new way of acting. And when you think about it, in the church we do a lot of thinking. In the church we do a lot of discussing. In the church we do a lot of debating. But in the theoretical and the abstract, discussion about things that are terribly important and things that are true and things that are ultimate, we have seemed to be stymied at the point of moving beyond discussion, beyond talking, to the actual affecting of human transformation. And yet, that's really what the gospel is all about. God, I don't think, really expects us with a snap of a finger, an instantaneous manner, to be totally transformed into some paragon of virtue. We are all warted people. We have our flaws and our failings. And as we've said throughout the course of this message, nobody's perfect, and really that's okay. But the question is something happening in my life? Is there a transformation process at work? Is the message getting through so the tangible and concrete expression of my life becomes a manifestation of the gospel in which I have believed? Is my life, to use biblical terminology, being by degree, gradually, transformed into the likeness of Jesus Christ? 12-step work is the outward manifestation of the inward spiritual awakening. And the person is willing to go anywhere, anytime, do anything in order to carry the message, in order to respond to the person who is in need. The success of this organization is phenomenal. When you think about the fact that it has no institutional form, as I said, that it has no way of promoting itself, that it is not in a program of persuasion or coercion, that it is simply in the posture of responding to the need whenever it becomes evident. The church, with its evangelism program, has not been as successful as AA with its simple ministry of caring one for another. The church, with its persuasion, with its promotion, with its crusades, with its tracts, with its verbal witness, has not been as successful as this institution, lack of institution, where a fellowship of people, because of a spiritual awakening, are willing to go anywhere, anytime, to do anything in order to meet the need of another. Part of the difference, of course, is that a recovering person will go nowhere, no time, and do nothing for someone who has not acknowledged the need and is pleading for help. It is in response to the felt need, the crisis, and the desperation that the recovering person will go and will be with and be available to and be supportive of that person. But it will never, never try to hit someone over the head with their need. It will never pry its way in, force its way in, where there is resistance or hesitation. It simply incarnates the new life and is ready to go anywhere, anytime, and do anything in order to share the new life, where there's hunger and thirst and longing for the miracle of transformation. We could learn a lot from this organization that spontaneously grows because it authentically, with integrity, witnesses and incarnates the message through which transformation was experienced. Someone gave me a book entitled A New Pair of Glasses by Chuck C. The C is the anonymous part of it. And in order for Chuck to remain anonymous, just his last initial is used. These were some popular talks that he gave to a retreat of recovering persons. And in this particular section, he was simply appropriating the story of the prodigal son to his own experience as he shared with this group. And he said, now here's the miracle of Alcoholics Anonymous. Here's the thing itself. This is the essence of our program. The father saw me a long ways off. And as I walked through the door of my first AA meeting, the man said to me, "Mister, were you looking for someone?" And I said, "No, sir." And he said, "What were you looking for?" And thinking he was a veteran, I said, "Well, if it would interest you, sir, I was looking for sobriety." And everything about that man changed in the twinkling of an eye. I was hooked before he ever opened his mouth again, because it was obvious that he was glad I was there. When everybody that knew me wouldn't even spit on me, my own flesh and blood wouldn't have anything to do with me. And here was this stranger, so glad that I was there, that he lit up, and when he spoke again, this is what he said. "Why, take off your hat and coat. You're in the right place." And he took me and rocked me to sleep. God came to meet me through you, who had already found your way. I didn't know you, but you knew me, because I was an alcoholic, and it didn't make any difference. You didn't ask me if I was hot, if I was in bad with the law, if I owed money, if I'd turned over a new leaf, if I was sorry for my sins. You didn't say any of those things to me. "Have you quit drinking?" You didn't say that. You said, "Take off your hat and coat. You're in the right place." Carrying this message to the alcoholic who still suffers. How fortunate are we that we have a lifetime job outlined for us in step 12. As I've said on many occasions, I don't know who to be most grateful to or for. I don't know. Because I didn't come to you to find God. I didn't come to you to get my wife back or my kids or my health or my sanity. I'd looked for God for 30 years and couldn't find him because I had him located someplace else. I came here to find out how to live one day at a time without drinking. And guys just like you took me in and shared their experience, strength, and hope with me. More than that, much more than that, their love. Guys that I didn't know, but they knew me, you see. So insofar as I am capable of doing it, I will be attempting to share this thing with drunks as long as there is breath in me. And again and again and again, you guys get dearer to me all the time, because you are the guys that nursed me back to health. You helped me do that which I could not do alone and showered enough love on me that I became, I hope, aware of the fact that God is love. God is love. And he that abideth in love abideth in God, and God abideth in him. I'm so grateful to you that I can't see. I love you. It's my joy to have had this time with you, and I shall never forget it, because some part of every one of you is going to be with me for the rest of my life. So I thank you again. All I have to do is to look into the eyes of a bunch like you to see my God. Well, that's it. It's really that simple. That's really all there is. Throughout the series, I've stressed the fact that AA has been able to maintain a kind of ambiguity that leaves enough room for anybody who's groping. Define the higher power as you will, whatever it takes. And that AA has been able to embrace people where they are, without the kind of rigidity of the body language saying, have you quit drinking? Or have you cleaned up your act? Or are you sorry for your sins? It has been able somehow or other just to embrace people, to look people in the eye and say, what are you looking for? Are you guilty? Are you afraid? Are you filled with anxiety? Are you crushed in spirit? Are you overwhelmed? What are you looking for? New life, new hope, new possibility. You're in the right place. Take off your hat and coat. Sit down. You're in the right place. The Apostle Paul said, help one another to bear these heavy loads. That's the New English translation of Galatians 6:2, and I like that. Help one another to carry these heavy loads. I think I began the series by quoting Scott Peck in his book, The Road Less Traveled, who begins with a simple sentence, life is difficult. Dear friends, life is difficult. It really is not easy to be human. And in the church, I think we haven't helped one another to be human either. We've often made it worse. With our rigid doctrinal formulations, the test of orthodoxy, with our particular shape of morality, the test of being moral, with our institutional structures that can so easily become oppressive, can become structures of control where the institution becomes an end in itself and people become the means to the end rather than people being the end, with the institution simply the means to help people. In the church, we haven't been very successful at the business of human transformation because much of the time, rather than lifting the burdens, setting people free, we've bound them ever more and made them more the children of hell than when they began. Jesus said that. He said it to the religious leaders of his own day. He said, you can't do the thing yourself, and you bind this heavy burden on people. You crush people. And really, you should be setting people free. Now, how do you set people free? By loving them. By saying, you've come to the right place. Take off your hat and coat and sit down. For one raised in the church like I have been, where every symbol and every piece of furniture is something that I've grown up with all my life, it's hard for me to believe, but I have been told often enough to believe there are people in this congregation who have circled this church a dozen times on a Sunday morning and then left, who have driven into the parking lot found a parking spot and never gotten out of the car, who maybe in another week got into the parking lot and parked the car and got out of the car and with great fear and trembling came up those steps and through that door. We had a little ushers meeting Wednesday night, and I was talking to the ushers about the ministry of ushering, that bridgehead to the people who are coming in. And I shared with them the story of some who have said how hard it was the first time to come up the steps and through those doors into this strange environment with people they didn't know. I'm not very concerned about how accurately you're able to recite the creed. And I don't care too much about a little heresy in the midst of your faith formulations. I'm not too worried about the pristine purity of your present life. But I'll tell you one thing I hope and pray. I hope and pray that every person that ever screws up their courage and comes up those steps and through those doors and into the narthex finds someone into whose eyes to look, whose eyes will say, "You're at the right place. Take off your hat and coat and sit down." Because, my dear friends, life is difficult. And Paul says what we ought to be about is helping each other carry these heavy loads. Evangelism crusades are good. Christian tracts stuck in the wax paper that wraps the loaf of brown bread you give away, that's good. Being ready to give a reason for the hope that is in you to anyone that would ask, that's right on. But you know, in 18 years, we've not had an evangelism committee here, and I'm not about to start one. We don't need any particular strategy to reach out and try and win this community. All we have to do is be the flesh and blood of the love of God. And to the extent that in our community life we are the pulsating heart of God incarnate, helping one another bear these heavy loads, and without question, without condition, without reservation, opening our hearts and our arms to anyone who stumbles through those doors. To that extent, the church will grow. And we'll be all that God expects us to be. Just channels of His peace. Instruments of His grace. Lord, make us such an instrument.